Welcome to episode 3 of Daily Dose of Random. I am your host, Channing Smith. This is the podcast where you may know the title or topic of discussion, but you will rarely know where our adventure will take us. Wherever you are, whoever you are, I'm sure you'll find something in this episode that will make you curious about the world around you. So sit back, relax, drink some water or eat some snacks, and join me as we dive into today's topic. Why are mattress sizes the way that they are? I recently moved, which means packing all of my valuable and sentimental belongings into my car as we drove nearly 1,300 miles across the country. It was quite the drive, but the real adventure began when we got there. Since I only brought my car and nothing else, we weren't able to pack anything like my desk, my chair, my bed, and of course, my mattress. It wasn't my favorite mattress to begin with, so honestly, good riddance I didn't have to sleep on that anymore. I ended up buying a queen-size mattress, which was a welcome upgrade from my twin-size mattress I had back at home. Of course, if I wanted to go larger than a queen, I could have always gotten a king-size mattress or even a California king-size mattress, but thankfully I didn't get a full or a twin XL or an antique double. Of course, if I wanted to go in between the queen and the twin XL, the obvious choice would be a three-quarter, but then a bed set would be a hassle. If I really wanted to ball out, a Wyoming King or Alaska King would be the obvious choice. Wait a second. What are we even talking about? Twin? Full? Wyoming? What does an antique double even mean? How is a three-quarter larger than a twin double XL? Truthfully, this is madness, and I'm sick of not understanding where these stupid names and sizes came from. So I spent way too long in preparation for this episode, and now I am angry at the International Sleep Products Association. Yes, that is a real thing, and we will talk more about them later. But first, let's restart. Welcome to Daily Dose of Random. Today, we will be talking about mattress sizes. Yes. Everyone's favorite hunk of polyurethane foam, viscoelastic foam, latex foam, felt, polyester fiber, cotton fiber, wool fiber, non-woven fiber pads, and of course, springs. At least, that's what they are commonly made of today. When the modern mattress started to be developed, waterbeds actually came first. You see, finding accurate dates and information on the invention of the mattress was very tricky, since humans have been sleeping on mattresses of some sort pretty much since the beginning of time. I mean, some historians estimate that the first waterbed was actually invented in ancient Persia nearly 3,000 years ago. They found goat skins filled with water they concluded were used by royalty, while others concluded it was used by the sick. It wasn't until 1833 that Scottish physician Dr. Neil Arnott invented the waterbed in hopes of evenly distributing body weight amongst its users. In 1873, Sir James Paget proposed Dr. Arnott's invention at the St. Bartholomew Hospital in London to ease bed sores of his bedridden patients. It was made of bath water, covered with a rubber canvas with lighter, normal bedding on top. Arnott didn't patent his design, by the way, and by 1895, British department store Harrods started to sell waterbeds that were constructed of very large hot water bottles. Unfortunately for Harrods, production was later seized due to suitable materials becoming hard to come by. In the meantime, however, German inventor Heinrich Westphal invented the innerspring mattress we know and love today. It was comprised of metal coils that were initially designed for horse-drawn carriages, according to some sources. Again, the history is vague for the next few decades, and eventually in the 1940s to the 1960s, various manufacturers made larger and larger mattresses with increasingly fascinating names. The earliest 20th century was also a time of major industrialization, where companies raced to get ahead and humans raced to get ahead of their declining health. This led to humans growing taller and heavier, which was a problem for the 1940s bedding companies. In 1900, for example, the average male was 166 centimeters, or about 64 inches tall. Compared to today's average, 177 centimeters, that's a nearly 5.5-inch difference. Their solution? Mattress manufacturers told consumers a quick solution would be to put two single mattresses together. Need something bigger? Put two twin-size mattresses together. Eventually, Americans got too large to put two together, and mattress manufacturers had a great idea. What if we made something so the average consumer can feel like royalty while they take their daily rest? We'll market it as a luxury symbol only the queens and kings of society could justify. We'll make it super big, super expensive, with huge springs so it never goes flat. By the way, that was a real conversation between executives at nearly every mattress manufacturer all over the country and the world in the early 1900s, because queen and king-sized mattresses quickly spread like wildfire. Once consumers started to fall in love with the sizes manufacturers started to make, consumers do what consumers do best: demand bigger and better things. This led to the sizes larger than king, like a California king, because if Americans are already sleeping like kings, the only natural progression of status is a king in some arbitrary state like California. The Texas king, Wyoming king, and the massive 9 feet wide by 9 feet long Alaska king mattress are just absurd. And this brings up the main topic of today's episode. Why are the mattress sizes the way that they are? Specifically, international sizes of mattresses and why they are named the way that they are. From all of my research, I literally could not determine why any mattress is sized the way that it is dimension-wise, and I could not find any reason outside of the queen and king and the royalty example as to why anything else was named anything. That being said, let's talk about them anyway. What bugs me the most is the differences in sizes of mattresses internationally, even if they have the same name. For example, the king size mattress in the US and North America is the largest, roughly 75 inches by 80 inches. Oddly enough, the UK actually has the smallest king size mattress internationally at 60 by 78 inches. The US compared to the UK is an 8.5 square foot difference. That 8.5 square foot of space would be worth about $15,000 in Manhattan real estate, by the way. So if you were to move to the UK and you're used to a queen size mattress in the US, you'll actually have to get a king size mattress to compensate. Things get even crazier for non-English speaking countries. Italy might just have my favorite nomenclature, which goes something like this. The smallest size in Italy is named una piazza, which literally translates to one place. The next size up is una piazza e mezza, which translates to 1.5 places. They also have a letto matrimoniale, which translates to matrimonial bed, which I thought was pretty cool, and obviously I can't speak Italian. My favorite one from Italy, though, is una piazza e mezza francese, which literally translates to French 1.5 places, which is strange because the French is actually larger than the normal 1.5 places bed. I'm just listening to this in post-production, and if I want to apologize, because if you are Italian or you speak Italian or anything related to that, I am so sorry for not being able to pronounce them. I listened to all of those pronunciations on Google Translate about 30 times, and that was like my 15th take that I just took, and it sounds terrible, so I apologize. Enough about Italy, and let's move on from Europe entirely. As far as I can tell, in China, they don't have specific names for each size. They just have a standard length, and you can refer to the size of your mattress by the width in centimeters, which I find to be quite helpful, and I wish more things used in nomenclature as such. In Japan, they have a Japanese Standards Association, which regulates mattress sizes to 77 inches long, roughly, except for the largest size, which is a king long size. All of the other sizes in Japan, a single, semi-double, double, wide-double, queen, and king, vary anywhere from 38 inches to 76 inches wide. In New Zealand, they have a California king. A California king in New Zealand, which is the only country globally that recognizes the California king size mattress outside of the US. Oddly enough, the California King in New Zealand is a whopping 2.69 square feet larger than the Cali King in the US, which, if you're keeping tally, would be worth about $3,500 in Manhattan real estate. Australia, on the other hand, has a single, a long single, a king single, a double, a queen, a king, and a super king, which, to be honest with you, doesn't make any sense. Why are there three types of single mattresses? Just make one single and make other names for the other ones. You know what makes even less sense? In Taiwan, they have a small single, but not a regular size single. It goes small single, and then to twin, then double queen king. Enough banter on countries without standard nomenclatures, because the International Sleep Products Association in Virginia has us covered. They have a whole 30-page document outlining international standards and what it means to be a single, double, and queen and king-size mattress internationally. The organizations within this association basically have a complete monopoly on domestic and international manufacturing of mattresses, so if you don't follow the standards, they kind of run you out of business automatically. That's unfortunately not true, actually. I tried to find the holy grail of mattress sizes, but the ISPA has no such document and no international standards. Until now. Today is day one of Channing Smith as the head of the ISPA, and I'm going to rework the system in a way that makes sense to me, while adding some fun sizes just for fun. Found on my website, dailydoseofrandom.com, which you should check out, by the way, is a document outlining how I think the ISPA should run their mattress standards. It's called the Channing Smith International Sleep Products Association International Standard for International Mattress Sizes Internationally, or for short, CASIS PESIF MICHE.
Limited Officer?
CASIS PEF MICHE. CASIS PESIF MICHE. It starts with the intro and explains how the system will work. There will be six sizes: extra small, small, medium, large, and extra large, and oh yeah, that's right, megabed. They each accommodate a different age group based on the average height by those in that age group. Extra small accommodates those up to age 6, small age 12, medium age 16, then 25 for large, literally the NBA for extra large, and then an entire family for megabed size, regardless of age. Additionally, every 25 years, the UN will conduct worldwide polls to determine the average height of each of those age groups, with extra large and megabed determined by a different formula. Starting in 2025, the extra small will be exactly 125 centimeters by 100 centimeters, or about 50 by 40 inches. The small will be 175 by 50 centimeters, or about 70 by 60 inches. This is in between the current U.S. twin and full, and should be a great increase as children grow into their middle school years. Medium and large are just the bigger version of those last two to accommodate the larger sizes that teenagers and eventually young adults will need as they grow. The extra-large mattress, also known as the massive, the extra-big, or the NBA size, is determined in a little bit of a different way. The current size is 225 centimeters in both directions, or 88 inches squared. This is a massive 54.49 square feet, worth about $71,872 in Manhattan real estate. The average height of NBA players is about 6'6", or 78 inches. Add 10 inches in both directions, rounded to the nearest closest multiple of 25 centimeters, and boom, you have the extra large size. Now we get to the megabed size, which is a square meant to accommodate about 4 people at once. It is a massive 300 centimeters in both length and width, and stretches to a massive 9 feet 10 inches. It would be a shame to call this any form of king size mattress, because let's be honest, if you need anything this large, you are a mega cool person. Why this is called megabed or family size is a story in and of itself for a later date. Megabed can only be increased if the average height of humans in the next 28 years increases by more than 5%, but no greater than 7.5%. If the example of human height grows larger than 7.5%, the CASIS PESIF MICHE allows an additional size larger than megabed, which is known as the mattress that shall not be named. Unfortunately, this system would never work. The heights of countries varies too much, and the standards aren't in place for a reason. And there are many reasons why a system such as this will never be successful. It's for the same reason why we can't collectively change the spelling of night, K-N-I-G-H-T, to exclude the K. There are too many people from different cultural backgrounds, too much history in the etymology of the word, and not to mention the obvious reason. Why? There is no reason to change what we already have unless there is a major problem to solve. If it ain't broke, why fix it? Sure, the naming scheme is unique, especially when it comes to unorthodox sizes or when you go outside of the US, but that's not enough to disrupt a $30 billion a year industry with hundreds of years of history. But that's the fun of these projects. You get to use your creative brain to develop something that you like. You are allowed to ignore the rules of reality and imagine a world if you were playing the head of an international association of mattress manufacturers. When I was originally developing my system, by the way, it made much more sense and would work way better, but I think my current system is more fun. There were standard sizes, each of which would be known by their size and size only, like shoes, men's pant sizes, belt sizes, and other men's clothing. Men's clothing specifically, because female clothing sizes are beyond any reasonable human comprehension and make no sense whatsoever by anyone in the history of human imagination. Maybe that's a good topic for a later episode. If you would like additional details, ensure to check out the document linked on my website. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, email me at dailydoseofrandompodcast@gmail.com. If you're still listening, I appreciate the time you've taken out of your day to listen to my thoughts. And I would be honored if you would join me in the next episode, where we will be discussing a very fun musical topic. Stay random, and as always, have a great day.